How lovely it is to be with you, to see you and to hear your voices on this fourth Sunday after Trinity. I've got Andrew here with me and we'll shovel over so when it comes to those points in the service. In the name of the living God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And some words from Psalm 89. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Truly, the Lord is our shield. My song shall be always of the loving kindness of the Lord. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness throughout all generations. I will declare that your love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness as firm as the heavens. For you said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. Your seed will I establish forever and build up your throne for all generations. Truly, the Lord is our shield. Happy are the people who know the shout of triumph. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name, they rejoice all the day long and are exalted in your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor, you lift up our heads. Truly, the Lord is our shield. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Truly, the Lord is our shield. As we sing of your love, O Lord, anoint us with the Spirit's seal, that we may praise your faithfulness and proclaim your truth from age to age, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our first reading is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now acclaimed your allegiance. You shall be set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning is a song of David. And we start by saying the refrain together. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Splendor and majesty are yours, O God. You are exalted as head over all.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, over the past few weeks, we have been stuck in Matthew 10, which has certainly contained some challenging teaching. Since verse 16 of chapter 10, Jesus has warned that his followers will face hostility, persecution, and death. Families will be divided over their allegiance to Jesus. Jesus tells his friends that he is sending them out like sheep among wolves. He warns them that there is a cost to being a disciple, and for some, that cost will be too much. It's a pretty grim read, and this morning we reach the conclusion of chapter 10, the two final verses, the second major section of Jesus' teaching after the Sermon on the Mount. However, within the warnings and the challenges, there are some other things that are worth noting that help us put this teaching in context. At the end of chapter 9, Jesus looks at the crowd and has compassion on them because they are confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then at the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Jesus sends his disciples to go out and proclaim the good news. And what is the good news? It is that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And as a sign that the kingdom of heaven is near, the disciples are to heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons, and to give as freely as you have received. In other words, what Jesus was calling his disciples to do is to back up what they said by action. They were to proclaim the kingdom of God in what they said, and then to complement it with extraordinary action. They were to do the very things that Jesus did. Their mission was an extension of his mission, and Jesus gave them the power and authority to do so. The disciples are to act as envoys of Jesus, extending his ministry, proclaiming the same good news, and performing the same works of healing that he is doing. Matthew, of course, is not only recalling Jesus' instructions to his first disciples, but Matthew is also speaking to his own community of disciples a few generations later. And Jesus is still speaking to us. There is still a need to send out laborers into the harvest, to send missionaries out beyond the community into a perilous and dangerous world. And those who go, those who are sent, must travel light and will need to depend on the hospitality and generosity of others. Well, like you, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I find these verses challenging. Jesus calls us all to go out and to tell others about him and to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is here. And we are to pray for healing, to pray for wholeness, to pray that the people we meet will know God's shalom. When Jesus uses the word shalom, he is declaring peace with a multitude of meanings. Shalom doesn't just mean peace. It means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. We are to declare God's desire to bless, the Father's desire to pour out his love and his favor on all people. As you may know, some of us are doing the blessings course. I believe this is an important course, equipping us to be the very sorts of disciples that God needs us to be here. If you've missed it this time, I will be repeating it again and will probably do it on Zoom. We want the places where we live and worship to be places of blessing. We are called to bring blessing and to proclaim blessing. And we're going to have to practice it. It doesn't come naturally. We need to be bold and we need to be brave, just like those first disciples. Can you imagine how they felt when Jesus gathered them together, talked to them, said that he had given them his authority to proclaim the good news, heal the sick, raise the dead. And then he said, right, off you go. come back and tell me all about it. Who was healed? Who was cured? Who came back to life? Well, what are you waiting for? Go. It's one thing to listen to Jesus' teaching. It's another to see his amazing miracles. And it's quite another to be told to go off and do exactly what you have seen Jesus do. But that is what Jesus is saying. People may hear us say, the kingdom of God is here, but they need to see evidence to support that. Is what we say backed up by what we do, the people that we are? Do we expect to see signs and wonders? Do we expect people to be healed and to be whole? What do people hear about our church communities? Are we different, or are we just like everyone else? Are there factions? Is there unity? In his first letter, Peter describes what the church should look like. Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Our job as disciples of Jesus Christ is to bless. We spend so much time doing all sorts of other things, but our job is to bless. Anyone who receives you receives me, says Jesus, as he sends his disciples out. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. In the ancient world, identity was tied to family and community. It was understood that in showing hospitality, one welcomed not just an individual, but implicitly the community who sent the people and all that they represented. Therefore, welcoming a disciple of Jesus would mean receiving the very presence of Jesus himself and of the one who sent him, God the Father. Finally, Jesus says, and if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Those who welcome and care for the needs of the least of my followers welcome and care for Jesus himself. This is mirrored in Jesus's teaching later on in Matthew 25, where the Son of Man says to the righteous, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. Jesus has been sent by God to send his disciples to participate in his mission of proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom and to show it in action. Matthew assumes that the church is a sent church, a missionary church. We are to be a body of people who go out into the world. According to Matthew, there is absolutely no other way of being church. So what does that mean for us? We're probably not all sent to be wandering missionaries, traveling light, dependent on others for food and shelter. But that doesn't let us off the hook. All of us who've been baptized are called to go into the world and be the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to carry the light of Jesus Christ with us out into the world. I wonder what would happen if we all decided to do just that. What if we stopped expecting people to come to us and we brought the good news to them? What would happen if we truly believed that we bring the presence of Jesus Christ to every person we meet, every home we visit, every office we work from, every shop we use, every community we go to. What would happen if we saw every conversation as an opportunity to speak words of love and grace and blessing? Why don't we try it and see? Amen.
Amen. And so we join together in prayer. Holy God, we bring our prayers for others, feeling the pains and burdens of the world, with confused minds and uncertain steps, but knowing that you are our God and you do hear our prayers. And so for the world we pray. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray. Hear our prayer. The world is full of uncertainty. Many do not know where they are from, where they belong, where they're going, or who they are. May they, in their uncertainty, find a grounding and an anchor and a welcome through the words and deeds of the people they encounter. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray. Hear our prayer. For ordinary citizens in Ukraine and Russia who struggle to comprehend what the war between the nations is all about. What is the truth and what is false? For those fearful for their lives, for their families, for their well-being and their future. For those who simply want to live in peace and harmony, with enough food and a home secure with friends and neighbours. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray. Hear our prayer. We pray for those who are fleeing their homes, their countries, their cultures, due to poverty, persecution, greed, war and neglect. Those who see no future for their homeland, no peace, no comfort, no welcome, no hope, no joy, no love. For those who trek and sail with no belongings or support, crossing borders and cultures in uncertainty and desperation. We pray that those who travel with only the desire to find somewhere to live in peace may find hospitality and welcome, and a space to build secure and safe lives and livelihoods. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray, hear our prayer. We pray for those who cannot flee their homes, who continue to live in poverty and fear with war, treachery and starvation knocking at their doors. We pray for them. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray, hear our prayer. We pray for those who seek to make money, wealth and fortune at the hands of others, dragging them into despair and pain. For those who sell addictive and illegal drugs with little or no thought of the damage and harm and devastation they will cause. We pray for those who are addicted, whose lives have been damaged, often beyond repair, who are on a perpetual cycle of need and dependence, driving them into violence, poverty and violence. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray, hear our prayer. We pray for governments and leaders worldwide who share the responsibility for the climate and its changes, its health and its future, its well-being and its survival. For areas where deforestation is happening at an alarming rate against all sensible advice. For those nations dealing with flood and drought and consequent poverty and need. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are unwell, especially Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Mary, Tony, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Joy, Peter, Rosemary, Eunice, Cheryl, Shirley, Emily, Steve, Henrietta, and Frank. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. We pray for those we meet day by day, at home, at school, at work, when shopping, when walking, when talking, friends, family, neighbours. May they all see and know in us the presence of a loving God, the welcome that as Christians we are called to give, a smile, a listening ear, a hand to guide, a touch of comfort, a word of prayer. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray, hear our prayer, and all the prayers of our hearts, spoken and unspoken. Amen. The collect for the fourth Sunday in Trinity. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please both you in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Andrew, for your company this morning. Hope you all have a very good week and look forward to seeing you at the same time next week. I'm sorry if you had trouble getting onto Zoom. I don't know what that sounded like from your end, whether there was a delay or not. But it's very nice to see you and to hear from you. Have a great day. God bless you all. Bye-bye.